I want you to take your Bible, if you would, at this time, and turn to the book of Luke. And we're going to look tonight at Luke chapter number 18 for our scripture reading. And it's been a blessing on these Wednesday nights just to focus on some of the themes that are needed during a season like this. And I think perhaps one of the greatest themes is the theme of prayer. And so tonight we're going to look once again at the subject of prayer from God's Word, Luke chapter 18. And would you find it there with your family, wherever you are, perhaps in your living room, in your kitchen, and would you open your Bible tonight and follow along with us as we read Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was a city judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard men, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Well, this evening, as we open our Bibles, we see in the closing verses of chapter 17 that our Lord has been speaking about the subject of his return. He's been speaking about the fact that he would return and come to gather his people. And in verse number 1 of chapter 18, he says, in light of the events leading to his return, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, I believe that this is a time when we need to pray for our country, for the sick, for one another. There's a lot of stress on so many homes tonight that was not planned for, that's for sure. A lot of moms right now are involved in homeschooling. That's something that they didn't have planned. They had their children in school. Maybe you saw the letter that one little boy wrote he wrote in his journal, actually, about this whole homeschooling event that he's experiencing. A little boy named Ben from Kentucky, he wrote in his journal, I'm not doing good. My mom's getting stressed out. My mom is really getting confused. We took a break so my mom can figure this stuff out. I'm telling you, it's not going good. Well, hopefully it's going better than that for you and your family. But for Ben, he said, it's just not going good right now. And I think a lot of people might feel that. In fact, I spoke to my grandsons this morning on FaceTime, and little Chandler and Camden, and they were having school. They had their headphones on. But I could tell Chandler was having a little too much fun as he was there in his school classroom time. And so I kind of had to admonish him a little bit. Then I had to say a prayer for Danielle, because the stress can mount on our lives during a time like this. Well, Jesus knew that there would be much stress in the time preceding the coming of our Lord. And so he is saying to us, men ought always to pray. And in this passage of Luke 18, we have a parabolic teaching which is intended to show a truth by way of comparison, comparing this widow coming to the judge to our prayers in coming to the Lord. And many times, if we're not careful, we can lose heart in our prayers. Someone might say, well, Pastor Chapel, we're always admonished to pray and pray without ceasing, but I don't always see the change that I want to see. And we can lose heart. And if we're not careful, we can try our own techniques. We can try to manipulate our own way with respect to getting through these times. So Jesus uses this example of a woman that was incredibly persistent. And he says, that's what I want you to see. I want you to make priority out of prayer. So let's take a few minutes tonight and learn from the parable of this faithful praying widow. The first thing that I want you to notice tonight is very simply the priority of prayer in her life. The priority of prayer. You see, Jesus begins by telling us men ought always to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 tells us, pray without ceasing. And as we often have learned, when times are good, it's very easy for us to just forget to pray. We kind of start thinking we can handle it on our own. And yet, when we look at what's going to happen preceding the coming of Christ, and I believe we're seeing the birth pangs of His coming, when we sense times like this, this certainly feels apocalyptic in the sense of preceding the time of the coming of the Lord. And we see sickness, and we hear of earthquakes and tornadoes, and we sense a stronger call. In fact, the former Prime Minister of Great Britain called yesterday for a one-world government to deal with this pandemic. And we're starting to hear things and sense things that maybe we only read about in seasons past. And what Jesus is telling us is you need to always be in prayer, because these are times that call upon Christian people to walk with God, to know His heart, and to seek His face. Prayer should be constant. And also we learn from this passage that our prayer should be confident. God does not want us praying with doubt. He says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now listen to what we learn about prayer in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. And if you have a moment, turn in your Bible there to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 19 through 23. I want to read it to you just now. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say His flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now I want you to focus tonight on this phrase, with a true heart in full assurance of faith. God says, when you come to me, I want you to come with a heart believing. I want you to believe that I can do anything but fail. And oftentimes in prayer, we can become very repetitious. We can say just the same phrases or perhaps just kind of go through the motions. But God says, no, I want you to come with a full assurance of faith. I want you to believe that I am and that I am a rewarder of those who diligently seek me. In fact, the Bible says in verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Now, you're going to find that when stress and testings come, those who had a bumper sticker of Christianity or had a religious affiliation with Christianity but never had a real relationship with God, they're not going to have that fervency, that confidence. But God is calling us to have a confidence in Him. Psalm 103 and verse 13, the Bible says, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. I believe tonight that God is looking for a nation, but first He is looking for a church that would fear Him and honor Him. And I don't mean fear Him in the sense of being afraid at the nightly news. I mean in the sense of having an awe and a reverential trust and a respect for God, having a confidence that He is a great and mighty God and that He can hear and answer prayer. And so we see that there is to be this priority of prayer, Jesus said, as you see the time coming. And we read about that time in chapter 7. And in fact, He talks about this second coming in chapter 7. He says, two women shall be grinding together. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. And we recognize that that exact moment is not upon us. But as we approach the coming of the Lord, we are told to make a priority of prayer and to come without hesitation and without ceasing. But what we learn from the woman tonight in the parable is not merely the priority of prayer, but the persistence of this woman, the persistence of prayer. I want you to notice that in verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Something I really love about our Lord is the fact that He knows who you are and where you are. He's going to tell us this whole story about a widow. There was a widow in a city. You know, we've been doing our best as a church family to call the widows of our church every week and just to check on them and meet their needs. But how much more attentive is God tonight to the heart and the need of a widow? And I just find comfort in the fact that he's going to remind us of the need of the least of these, someone that maybe others would not have thought about. Now, she was facing an uncaring judge. She was facing a judge that did not fear God. And we live in a world that generally does not fear God or believe in God. And yet, he was in authority over her life. And so the Bible tells us here in verse number 3 that she came to this judge and she said, "Avenge me of mine adversary." And she says in verse number 4 that he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me." So we get a picture of a widow that kept coming and kept coming and kept pleading her case before the judge. She was persistent indeed. She had a persecutor, and this persecutor would not stop bringing a case against her. And so she had to bring her need to the judge. And she had discovered the only key to power in prayer was persistency and coming again and again. You know, James chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us, "Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not." Now, I think of the many prayer requests of this hour. I think of the prayer request for a cure or for some type of a means to an end with respect to COVID-19. I think of that great need today physically and medically. But then I think also of those with underlying conditions and how we need to pray protection for them in the meantime. Before there is to come some cure, there must be protection in the meantime. I think we need to pray that God would help us through this time, and we must pray consistently. I was reading yesterday in the newspaper about a Pew Research study that was just unveiled. In fact, I think it was March 31st edition. And they talked about prayer in American life, and they had surveyed, I think, a sampling of about 2,000 Americans across the 50 states. And 55% of them said that they have been praying and asking God that he would provide a cure for the coronavirus. 55% of Americans. So what happens in a time like this is that there's a peaked awareness of the fact this is bigger than us. This is bigger than the federal, the state, and the local government. We need God's help with this. And so God is speaking to his people, and he says, yes, people pray when difficult times come, but men ought always to pray, and we need to pray with greater persistence. Now think of this. If an ungodly judge heard the cry of this woman, how much more does your heavenly Father hear the cry of his children? And when we come to a situation that is so beyond us, how much more should we bring this to the Lord? The same Pew survey said that while 55% of Americans have increased their prayer life, that there have been, in addition to that, 57% of Americans in the last 2 weeks that have watched live stream broadcast to hear something true from the Bible, to find some measure of hope, 57% of all Americans. Well, I want to share with you tonight that there is hope in Jesus Christ, and there is power in prayer and coming to God with faith believing. And this widow woman, she realized that she had to persistently come to this judge to find help over her persecutor and in a time of need. The Bible says in Luke chapter 11 and verse number 8, "I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth." You see, sometimes there will be those that will not rise to meet the need simply because there's a need, but because of the request. Now, think of all the requests going on right now, the labs that are being requested to do research, and the states that are requesting ventilator machines, and the government that is requesting masks, and all of these requests, and they're all urgent. And God says, I want you to bring your urgent request to me. Be persistent with your prayer. Sometimes from our perspective, it may seem that there's a delay in God's answer. And I want to remind you tonight, God's delays are not God's denials. that God many times uses these waiting times, that waiting times are not wasting times, that the very fact that you're coming to God in prayer is a part of this process. It's a part of the purpose, no doubt, to get our nation back to prayer, to get our churches back to prayer. And so we see the persistence of prayer. Let's learn a lesson from a widow woman tonight. She may not have had powerful connections, and she may not have had a pocketbook full of money, but she understood the necessity of coming with great faithfulness with her request. Well, we see the priority of prayer. Men ought always to pray. We see the persistence of prayer coming again and again before the throne of grace, and how we're blessed to do that. But let's notice finally tonight the practice of prayer. This practice of prayer. Now, why do we want to stay in practice with prayer? Well, I want you to see something as we close here in verse 8. The Bible says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" Now, think of that for a moment. Here we see that God is painting a picture of urgency for us in prayer. Why do we need to stay practiced in prayer? Because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the psalmist said in Psalm 109 and verse 4, "For my love, they are my adversaries, but I will give myself to prayer." Now think of that for a moment. For my love, they are my adversaries. You know, the apostle Paul said something very similar. He said, "The more I love, yet the less am I loved." And sometimes we give out and people don't love back, is what he said. And David said this. So this was his response. He said, "Nevertheless, I will give myself to prayer." In other words, if I can't convince someone to see an issue, if I can't bring about reconciliation, if I can't bring about healing, there's one thing that I can do. I can give myself to prayer. And just like Anna, the prophetess who was there in the temple awaiting the consolation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says of Anna that she served the Lord with prayer. And so you may not be able to go out and serve the kids on your bus route like you want to. And you may not be able to go out and visit someone like you normally would, but you can give yourself to prayer, and I can give myself to prayer and be in the practice of prayer, because we know the coming of the Lord draws nigh, and this is a time to walk with Him in fervent, fervent prayer. You see, the Son of Man will come. And I want you to think about that tonight. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Listen, that day is coming. The Son of Man is coming, and we want to be in tune with him when he comes. We want to be talking with him when he comes. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was no more. One day he was just fellowshipping with the Lord and he was praying with the Lord, and then he was with the Lord. And that's how we ought to pray. Oh God, I want to be in so close a fellowship with you that when you call me home, when that trumpet sounds, we're just going to keep that conversation going on when we get up to heaven. You see, that's why we need to stay in prayer and in fellowship. The Son of Man will come. But notice this question here. As we close today, it says, "I tell you that he will avenge them speedily," verse 8. "Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh," by the way, do you believe he's coming? I do. "When the Son of Man cometh," it doesn't say if, it says when. I mean, General Douglas MacArthur said, "I shall return," and he did, and he liberated the Philippines. But if Douglas MacArthur's word was kept, how much more the word of the Lord Jesus Christ? And the Bible says, "When the Son of Man cometh." But notice this question now. Shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? Oh, I pray that he finds it in me and in you. You say, "Well, I'm saved," but I'm not merely talking about being saved, though that's where faith begins, for by grace are you saved through faith. But I'm talking about that fervent expectation of God, that walking with God, that talking with God. Will he find that in us when he comes again? Will he find people that are seeking him and longing for him? Oh, I believe tonight that this should be my prayer and yours. Lord, help me to be talking with you and walking with you even when you come. Prayer is an expression of faith in God. Prayer is thanking God instead of complaining. Prayer is rejoicing, accepting, and appropriating grace into my life each and every day. And oh, tonight I think of Daniel of old, how he was told that he ought not to pray, and yet three times a day he opened up the windows and he cried aloud towards Jerusalem and he prayed to God. And I just want to challenge you that if you do not take this time of sequestration as a time of growth, and I know it's inconvenient, and I recognize that people are making masks and going to the stores, and I recognize that there's much caution to be had, and I think these preachers that are having church right now are absolutely foolish. I believe a very strong right in the freedom that we have to worship, but I'm going to tell you something. I believe a shepherd should care for the health of the flock, and what I'm saying is you may not be able to come into church to pray, but find a prayer place at home. Find a place in your backyard, on your patio, in your closet, and get close to God. What a tragedy that 4, 6, 8 weeks from now we would get back to a normal schedule with a normal Christian life. We ought to get back to that normal schedule, red hot with God, because we've spent time with Him in prayer. And so this widow teaches us tonight the priority of prayer. Men ought always to pray. The persistence of prayer, that even when it feels like our prayers aren't being answered, we just keep coming and we keep coming. And even when we can't solve problems with other people, that we just give ourselves to prayer. And then the practice of prayer. Why do we want to stay in the practice of prayer? Because, my friend, Jesus Christ is coming again, and we want to be in sweet fellowship with Him when we see Him. When Terry and I were in Bible college, there were some seasons where I stayed down in Southern California and I worked, and then she would go up to the Bay Area and she would work at her parents' restaurant there. And so we would have these seasons, sometimes a month or two apart from one another. But that was when we wrote letters. Now, some of you, that's kind of foreign to you because of all the email and texting, but back in the olden days, people actually took a pen and paper, wrote letters, put it in the mailbox in it. And every day I'd write her a letter and I'd say, Terry, I sure miss you and I sure love you and I can't wait to see you again. And she would write me letters. And fact is, sometimes she would actually put perfume on those letters. And when I'd walk into the mail room at my Bible college after working the swing shift, I'd start sniffing and try to smell. And the closer I got to the mailbox, I'd smell that perfume and I'd open up that letter and I'd count how many times she said she loved me, how many times she said she missed me. And we just kind of communicated together. I think I was a little insecure about all of that at the time and wanting to make sure about it. But I'm going to tell you something. We stayed in such close contact when we were apart, so that when we saw one another face to face, it was just picking right up where we left off. We were close already as we gathered together. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. One day we're going to see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And friend, we don't want Him to be a stranger when we see Him. Oh no. We want to be walking with Him in fellowship and in prayer, making a priority of prayer until we see Jesus Christ again. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, thank you that we can come and pray and we can adore you and we can confess to you and we can call out with our prayer requests. Oh God, like this widow, help us to be faithful in seeking your face. Help us to bring our burdens to you tonight. Father, bless our leaders with wisdom. Bless the sick with healing. Oh God, put a protection around those in our church with various conditions. Oh God, would you bring us through this time? And would you be glorified in answering this prayer? Because Lord, we come in faith believing that you're able. And God, we know that you will. Oh God, we pray tonight that you would be pleased to hear an answer and help us to be persistently coming to you during this time. And help us to be closer to you when this virus passes. And when you come again, and we'll thank you for teaching us and for being patient with us as we pray in Jesus' name, amen.